The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
So we see now in the paper today that the plan for mandatory hotel quarantine should be here in Ireland by mid-February. They're saying they will have it set up. And Pat Leahy is saying in the Irish Times today that that the mandatory hotel quarantine could ultimately apply to all countries. And certainly that does not appear to have been ruled out. So look, what is the quarantine like? Businessmen Tom Duffy and Aidan Houlihan are on the line. And guys, you actually both emailed us individually from when you were in quarantine in hotels abroad, which perhaps says something about how desperate people get when they're stuck in a hotel room. But Tom, starting with you, so you lived in the Middle East up to January for about 10 years, and then you came home to Louth, but you had to go back to Qatar to wrap up a few things.
Yes.
And just tell us about the whole process of going back and the booking and everything.
Okay, it's pretty well organised. The first thing you have to do is to apply for a visa. You just can't pitch up there and say, let me in. You have to apply for a visa. And you may have to wait some considerable, it could be a week, it could be a month before you get the visa. Right? The purpose of that, as far as I know, is that they've got limited quarantine accommodation and they just don't want more people arriving than they can accommodate. So it's organised in that respect. The other thing on the visa that you get, it states the number of days quarantine that you're going to have to do. And that, again, depends on your country of origin and the state of play in that country of origin at the time that they're issuing the visa. In my case, it was 7 days, right? And then you have to go on and book an hotel from a list of hotels of different classes, right?
Okay.
And you have to pay for that yourself. Okay, so you arrive at confirmation of your hotel booking, your visa, in Doha Airport.
And do you need a COVID test?
No.
Okay.
A COVID test, and it maybe explains the reason why. I thought you might, but I studied it myself and found no. You see, a COVID test is of little use to you if you're leaving Ireland, clean as a whistle, and you spend about 12 hours in a very, what I would say, potentially contagious environment, travelling through 2 airports and say 9 hours stuck on an aeroplane.
Tom, can I just ask you on that? Did you feel that, because none of us have travelled in so long, did you feel the travelling was kind of, did it feel slightly unsafe, yeah, as if you could be picking up COVID along the way?
Well, nothing you feel, it's so visual, it's so obvious. You know, if you look at the circulation of people around an airport, thousands of people maybe milling around an airport, moving in all sorts of directions. Social distance is well nigh impossible. Obviously, then when you get on a plane, even if you've got 3 seats to yourself, there's somebody behind you, somebody in front of you. So if anybody sneezes, coughs, then you have to remove face coverings to eat or to have a drink or something like that. So it's obviously a high-risk environment. Now, I did it both directions without picking it up, right?
Right.
And strangely enough, when I was back in Ireland a couple of weeks, out of that, in a much lower-risk environment and being quite careful, I did get it, or it got me, right?
Right.
So, but that's another story, right?
Okay, so you're arriving in Doha.
You're arriving in Doha. The first thing is produce your mobile phone and download an app, right? We call it the COVID Etrans or something. Call it the COVID app, right? As soon as you do that, you get a big rectangle or square, right, on the app, right? And it has 3 or 4 potential colours. The obvious one's been green means you're good to go anywhere. Orange means that you're under quarantine. So that's the one it starts off with. And red would mean if you're confirmed as having COVID. Right, so you start off with orange on it. That means the only place you can go is straight to your place of quarantine. No deviation. So after you have that done, you go and you get a COVID test in the airport. Is it PCR, whatever they call it, the swabs from the nose and throat. And after that's done, you, the usual passport control, baggage, you know, and then you go to, my own car arranged for me to take me directly. I couldn't go and take a taxi. I had to take a specified vehicle, sit in the back, separated from the driver with a transparent screen, right? and straight to the airport, not in the main end, or sorry, straight to the hotel, not in the main entrance, but in a service access, up the service lift and onto the 14th floor into my room, and that's home sweet home for the next week.
Okay, you see, Tom, I'm already thinking there. So many bits of that to organise here, that to do that for tens of thousands of people coming in here is going to be, it's going to be challenging. Aidan, you were flying in from New York. You've a very exciting life. So you live in New York and you were flying to see your wife in Hong Kong, who you hadn't seen in 9 months. So can you tell us about the process of getting from New York to Hong Kong and arriving in Hong Kong?
Brennan, good morning. Yes, happy to kind of give you the overview on that, I guess. So from my perspective, I was coming out to Hong Kong, and I was somewhat differently to Tom in Doha. In order to get on the flight in New York, you had to have a COVID test within 72 hours before boarding the flight. And then you had to have a number of certificates from the actual testing center. In my case, it was an actual hospital in Manhattan. And, basically verifying the quality and veracity of the test. And so you get to the airport, you check in, and all of that's pretty normal. The flight itself then was very empty in my case, probably only about 30% full. And, you know, it's a long flight, about 16 hours or so, and you have to keep your mask on for the entirety of the flight. And Hong Kong is a city that I've flown into many, many times. I guess the most surreal thing was when you land in, you know, the doors open, you disembark, and you're greeted by, you know, everybody effectively wearing PPE and hazmat suits. And you're effectively processed in at the airport, where you're basically given a wristband with a chip in it and also another COVID test. And, you know, once you've done that, you're effectively then escorted to, you know, a government-sponsored hotel for the night. And they'll contact you then the following morning. And assuming then that you're negative on that, you will then be released to the hotel that you had to have pre-booked for 2 weeks, in my case, before I came to Hong Kong.
Okay, so there's two parts of this. The first hotel is like kind of more a secure government facility, and then the second one,
exactly,
also secure, but that's the hotel you've booked.
That's the hotel you've booked, exactly. And then, so, you know, they, you know, ask you to download an app. When you get to the hotel that you've booked for yourself, you have to geofence the room, and, you know, so that they can, you know, track and monitor, so that you don't even step outside the door of the hotel room for, you know, for the 13 days that you're there.
Okay,
and
so hang on.
Additionally,
this is,
then on date.
So just explain that. So you basically have to give them the parameters of the room, is it, so they can monitor that the bracelet,
exactly,
stays in the room? Okay.
Exactly. That's exactly it, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's full on. And look, it works. I mean, and you know all of this before you actually sort of go on the trip. So you know what you're signing up for. So I think it actually worked quite well. And, you know, obviously two weeks in a hotel isn't ideal for anyone. But
yeah, you must have been going potty stuck in the room for 2 weeks, were you?
Well, I mean, you know, the first few days, yeah, there's a little bit of anxiety, no doubt about it. But I was lucky enough that I was able to work throughout the full 2 weeks. And, you know, obviously knowing at the end of it, Justine and I would be able to, you know, meet up again, having been separated for the previous 9 months. So it was also exciting. And so it was, it was great to be able to do it. I was actually lucky because about a week or so after I got here, they upped the 2 week quarantine to what it is today, which is 3 weeks. So
wow.
If I was coming in,
okay,
today, I'd have to do 3 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. And Tom, how did you get on? You only had a week in the hotel. And like, you're stuck in the room again, and do they deliver up meals to you, or how does it work?
Yeah, the meals are dropped off in a big paper bag with all disposable utensils and containers 3 times a day. Right, so ring the doorbell and you know that that's breakfast or lunch or evening meal. Yeah, so that worked fine. The food was fine. I probably put on a bit of weight, no exercise. Just give me a laptop and an internet connection and I can keep myself going. I have lots of hobbies, computer programming, stuff like that. I had a whole range of things to set up for me to do, get into program and stuff. So that kept me going during the day, and then nighttime you might watch a bit of TV and you'd contact family, friends and so on.
Yeah.
So the days went in. But on, again, okay, well organized on day Yeah, day one, I got a phone call from the doctor, the medical team doctor, she called herself. But my thought was maybe the far side of Doha, but in fact, she was only three rooms down the corridor. So there was a little medical team on the corridor, the 14th floor.
Okay, so that's another layer of that there, which is health support for people. Okay, listen, Tom and Aidan, that was really, that was great insight into that. Fascinating. Thank you both very much.